Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Let's sing that little chorus she's playing. I exalt thee. Amen. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord. Lord, we want to lift your name up, Lord, for all you've been to us. Lord, all you are to us every day of our lives, Lord, you're walking right beside us. Lord, we praise your wonderful name this morning. Lord, we ask that something be said today, Lord, that's only for your glory, your honor. Lord, let these songs exalt you this morning, Lord. We ask it that you'll bless us with your word this day. Lord, open our eyes, give us revelation, more important than anything in this life. Give you all the praise and glory that's due unto you this night, this morning. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray these things. Amen. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. I couldn't do it without you. We praise your wonderful name this morning. Lord, may we lift your name up. Amen. For all you've been to us. Lord, we love you this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, I exalt thee. I exalt thee. down from His glory, ever living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was His name. Lord, you be with us. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Whether you're standing down in that great big valley, standing way up on that big mountain, he's still God. He created it all. And he took the time to come down and visit me and you this morning. How thankful we ought to be. Hallelujah. He's so precious, saints. Amen. You feel so small. Hallelujah. Why me, Lord? It's your grace. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Amen. Page 247, same book. And that's why you ask him, Lord, use me any way you see. So I glorify you in this life. Amen. Dear Lord, I'll be your witness if you will help my weakness. I know that I'm not worthy. Hallelujah. Your desire. Amen. Whatever God has for you to do. Lord, let my will crumble. Amen. So you can have control of this little vessel. Amen. Brother Ames, you take up the offering this morning. Amen. Not thy will, but thine be done, O Lord. Hallelujah.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, truly, it is an honor and a privilege to serve you, Lord, in this day and age. Lord, we just want to thank you once more for this opportunity you've granted to us.
Amen.
Together, precious word with our brothers and sisters, Lord. It truly is a wonderful opportunity, and we thank you for it. Thank you for the health and strength you've given us, Lord.
Yes.
Desire in our hearts to draw closer to you this day. Lord, as we come to this portion, and once more we ask that you'll bless this offering, Lord. Let it be used for that building of that kingdom. We ask it in your precious holy name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God still moves in the heart of his children. Amen. Oh, God still moves. God still moves in the heart of his children. God still moves. Amen. He does not sleep, nor does he slumber. God still moves.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God still moves. God still moves. God still moves in the heart of his children. God still moves. He does not sleep, nor does he slumber. God tonight, brother, raising your hand this morning. Amen. Let's take it before him as we do in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful. Lord, we feel the move and the call in our hearts, Lord. Lord, when you peck us on that shoulder, Lord, and you tell us to do something, you tell us to go somewhere, to talk to somebody. Lord, it don't matter what the whole world says and thinks about it, Lord. If it's your will, let it be done. Hallelujah. Lord, we just appreciate you, Lord. We don't want to take for granted that little call that's in our heart. Lord, to come and praise your wonderful name for all you've done for us. Because, Lord, how small we feel sometimes, Lord. But we're so thankful, Lord, that we feel that little call, that little pecking in our hearts. Lord, to come and listen to what your word has for us. Lord, that's how we know to take the step day to day, the step tomorrow. Lord, and the steps that will lead us all the way back to you. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, it's just a journey, Lord, that you got us on, Lord. Let us follow your map, Lord, that you've laid out for us. Lord, I just feel so humble this morning. Lord, I feel needful. Lord, I just appreciate you with all my heart more than I ever have in my life. Lord, and I ask you to have the way, Lord, this morning in the ringing of the word, Lord, that you'll give us revelation more than anything in this life. Lord, that's the need, Lord, above all else we need first, revelation. Lord, then all the needs of the people, Lord, that raise their hand this morning, whether it be spoken or unspoken. Lord, you know each and every heart. You know what they have need of. Lord, they might not even know what they have need of, Lord. You know all about us. Lord, we lean on you this morning. We ask you to have your perfect preeminence, meet our needs according to your perfect will. Give you all the glory, praise, and honor that's due unto you. For you are the greatest, Lord, that ever was heard. Hallelujah. Lord, we appreciate you this morning. We lift your name up. Lord, we wait to hear thy word now, Lord. We just ask for revelation. Bless each and every one that's made the effort to be here, Lord. Lord, may that cry be in our hearts, Lord, to reach out and touch you. In thy precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Amen. At this time, we'll ask anybody that has a special or wants to come up and sing a special. We We ask the sisters to come on up.
The precious word of God is all I need. Every step I take, let it step ahead of me. Behind the word of God, I'm fortified. I must keep this word before me at all times. Keep it written on my heart, ever present in my mind. Have its praise upon my lips. It's all I see with my eyes. Every breath my body breathes, be my pillow when I sleep. From my head down to my feet, the word of God is all that's seen. I've been bought with a price, I'm not my own. I must live by every word He spoke, with a great love burning in my heart for Him. To this precious word of God my life I give. Keep it written on my heart,
write it on my heart,
ever present upon my lips.
Praise you with my lips.
All I see with my eyes. Every breath my body breathes.
Every breath I breathe.
Be my pillow when I sleep.
When I go to sleep.
From my head down to my feet.
Every part of me.
The word of God is all that's seen.
That's why we gathered here this morning, so He can prepare us to be a living sanctuary for Him. Have a vessel that'll go out and show that He's still alive. Amen. Let's all stand, if you will. We ask our pastor to come sing that little chorus. Lord, prepare me.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
Again. Lord, prepare me. Let's just bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Precious Lord Jesus,
how we love you and appreciate you and are so thankful again that you've allotted us to be here this morning. So thankful again for your love and mercy that you placed in our hearts, the grace that you've had for us, all the love of God, how rich and pure. Truly, how measureless it is. We've gathered here again today, Lord, asking that you to speak to our hearts and open our hearts to the Word of God. Father, we'd be better sons and daughters for you. Everything that we would do would be pleasing in your sight. Lord, you could do the work through these tabernacles of flesh that you want to do in this last day. We pray now, Lord, that you help each one of us, not only me, Lord, to commit unto you, but each one of them that stand here with me this morning, may they commit themselves unto you also. Lord, for the receiving of the precious word of God, we ask it in your glorious, precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated for a moment. Amen. Well, how many's happy to be here this morning? Amen. We count it a great privilege to be here and an honor by God's grace. Excuse me. And we want to again thank all you that drove so far to be here. And then old Sister Esther back there and being here today with us. I trust that she'll feel so comfortable and be blessed here to be with us today, because, you know, I'll tell you, we're no big, well-renowned people. We're all saved by the grace of God, you know, and we're just little, humble little sheep that God has blessed us to receive a great message in this day, you know, of our precious prophet. So we pray that she'll feel very comfortable. And I hope Brother and Sister Salma would be here today, too, because, you know, they drive down from Columbus, but I don't think it was their weekend to be here. But I'm sure she'll hit it off with them, too. Amen. But, I want her to feel comfortable because, you know, of course, when Brother and Sister Salma here, you know, they're collared, too. But, you know, I want her to feel comfortable because, to me, it makes no difference, you know. We're all saved by the grace of God. You see, it's nothing to be. You know, years ago when we was back in the old Pentecostal church, my old pastor was a colored man, and he was a good feller. I'll tell you, he really was. I've always loved colored people. You know, a lot of people have their little glitches and things, but I just think they need the Holy Ghost when they, right, you know, yeah, think that. But we're so thankful for everybody that could make it today. And again, as we read the Word of God, let us stand in honor and respect to His Word. And we'll turn to 1 John and the 5th chapter and the 14th to 15th verse. 1 John and 5th chapter, 14, 15th verse. Let's read a little scripture here. Now we want to pick up where we basically was at last Sunday. And just trusting that, and I hope even what we brought out Thursday night, it was something that will help you go along with that and impress in your heart of what God is looking for. So 14, 15 verse, he says, and this is the confidence. Now, what is confidence? It's assurance, you see. It's cheerful courage. It's without fear, you see. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, yeah, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now may God bless you in his word, and you may be seated. Now, that's a wonderful place to live in Christ, is to know you're going to get what you ask for, you know. And, of course, there's different things that go with that, and we'll touch on a few things today. But everything, you know, that God has promised us, as a prophet, and I'll read it again just to bring our minds back to it. Every promise God has given us is by condition, you see. As far as what we receive, what he's blessed us with and to receive from him. And we realize that, you know, we sometimes don't understand
I don't feel yet, but at least what the Holy Spirit's been laying upon my heart, that, you know, we should be a people with the word we've got today. In all honesty, we should be further along than what we are. And I'm not just talking about here. I'm talking about all over the world with a message that God gave to us through that prophet. And how it seems like I've talked about before, but the cosmos, this world cosmos, all this filth and trash and daily care of living and material things, it's just so easily working upon the people and distracting them and getting their hearts off of the will of God. And, you know, and you see a time back when the real revival began to strike back on Azusa Street and so forth. And, you know, when God began to move, you know, look how less materialized people was back then. You know, and even coming up in the 40s, 50s, 60s, it started changing a lot in the late 50s and really begin to gear for materialism. And as every year goes by, it just keeps gearing more and more for it. And everything just keeps pressing on it. But I pray we'll take the advice that Apostle Paul told Timothy, that we be not entangled with the affairs of this life. And don't let it choke us and strangle us and so forth. But we find that we're in a place with Christ, that if we are doing what he said to do, and for some reason, with what the prophet said, I can't see why a person wouldn't be doing what the word said if they were filled with the Holy Ghost. You know? Now, it's just my way of seeing it and what the prophet said. But I want you to listen today again to these scriptures and quotes and things, and I want you to sit there as an individual and measure yourself up by it again. And again, we see that there's a place God has set us here for, and there's great blessings for us. There's great promises for us. But are we receiving those? Are we, should I say, is those promises activated or manifesting in our life? You know? Or are we being a people that's choked down with the cares of life? You see? So, again, listen. Now, we'll read again 1 John 3 and just back up a little bit, and we'll read 20 to the 22nd verse. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. I mentioned this, just kind of quoted it a couple times last services. God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Now keep that in mind, he knows all things. So we have the knowledge of that he knows all things. At least we should have by now. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Okay, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence towards God. Or in other words, we have this assurance and this cheerful courage and without fear, you know, and stand with God, okay? And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Now, is those words just put there for only disciples, only for prophets, maybe only for pastors? No, it's for every one of us. Do you believe that? I believe with all my heart, according to what the prophet said. Okay, it's for every one of us. It's not for just apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers, evangelists and so forth. It's for every one of you. You see? All right? And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments. Notice what he said there. Because. Whatsoever we ask, we receive him, because. I want you to notice that because in there. We keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now we also have the knowledge of Revelation 2:23, and I'll read it. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth, or tracks down, the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Okay, so again, we have the knowledge that he knows all about our thoughts. He knows about our works. He knows all about us. So we have in this knowledge about this, we know that he sees us or knows when we've done something wrong and it's not under the blood. Okay? And he knows when we're not overcoming. You say, well, why? How does he know that? Because he said it's the overcomer that shall sit with him. So he knows who the overcomer is. You see? So we have the knowledge of this. We have the knowledge of we're to be an overcomer. We're to be a people that stops doing things that we used to do. We have the knowledge of what pleases God and what he desires of us in our life. The scriptures tells us, and the prophet come in this last days and God give him the revelation of all these different things. There would be no loose ends. So you'd know exactly what God was requiring, what he's done for you, the promises that's laying there for you. So nothing's in the dark. Okay, we know that. Okay, God sent the prophet and all these mysteries come forth. And now we know all these things. We have the knowledge of it. Okay? So what does this mean to have all the knowledge of this? What do I do as an individual? What do you do as an individual with the word that you have been given? See, I mean, how do you respond to it? How do you react to it of what's been given to you? Okay, just follow me now. So this, I'm going to just renew our minds back again to 1 Timothy 4 we read Thursday night, just to kind of quickly place this in there. 1 Timothy 4, first, second verse. Now the Spirit speaketh expressively that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, and their conscience seared with a hot iron. You know what we was bringing out about that? So we find he told us in the latter times there's going to be this people that can't even distinguish between right and wrong because their conscience is so seared as with a hot iron. They just couldn't, you know, they could do things wrong. And oftentimes, and friends, believe me, in the years of preaching I have, I've seen people, you know, they've come up to me later and say, you know, I guess I didn't think of that. And I'm talking about simple things. I didn't realize that was wrong. And been Christian, so to be, call themselves to be for a long time. And say, I didn't know that was wrong. And I just... And I'm talking about something simple, something ABC, you see. And then receive that and have that kind of a testimony. And then still just keep right on doing it. You see, nothing changed. And then just constantly keep moving on to something else, something else, something else. Could not distinguish between right and wrong. That there's certain things wrong. They should not do this. Maybe there's a certain place they go to. They should not do that. Maybe there's a certain thing they're listening to. They should not do that. Maybe the way they treat somebody. They should not do that. Maybe having being easily offended. They should not do that. You see? So all these things, but we have the knowledge of it. But yet there's not something there to excite it or kick it in gear to make it live, to make it express. To where we're truly that overcomer that I spoke about, that Jesus spoke of, you see. So we realize we're in that time. This is the latter times, okay? But now God is requiring of a people. And he knew he would have a people here and he'd send a people that he'd give them all the, we'll call it the equipment they needed to be a people that would be overcomers. They would be the people that would do whatever God said to do in his word. I mean, they'd be so excited about it. Yes, Lord, if that's what you want, amen. And then that's it. You know, and they'd hang on to that with all that's in them. Their whole life centered upon it, you see. Remember some of the message we brought building up to this now. Okay? Hopefully you can. All right? Now listen to what he says here, he that's in you. And just kind of speaking about, again, what Paul said in Timothy there. This is November 10th, 1963. And Brother Branham says here in paragraph 48, he's getting started in his message. He says, and it will continue to get worse. And no older I am, I've seen it get worse, believe me, in
40, 50 years. I've seen it just keep getting worse. Every year it keeps getting worse, keeps getting worse, keeps getting worse. You know. He says, a national repentance? The nation is gone. And truly it is. This nation's gone. Now you just mark that down, you young children. How far, he says, it ain't Brother Branham now. He said, that's what I said right or wrong. He said, sin will get worse and worse. Think of that. Sin will get worse and worse. Did you ever see some of you younger ones will never know it and see it. But some of us older ones have seen how people have become so much more hateful than what they was 40 years ago. I mean, so hateful. I mean, used to, you know, you would run on the one here and there. But I mean, as far as the whole race, what do you think there's so much road rage and all this nonsense that goes on? Hatred. 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 If anybody just does anything just a little bit to cross their line, hatred. They scream out. They want to come after it. They want to destroy it. It wasn't near that bad 40, 50 years ago, friends. No, it wasn't. Nope. But every year it keeps getting worse and worse and worse, you see. Now he's telling us. It gets worse and worse until one day the skies will catch on fire. She'll fall to the earth, and the earth will burn with fervent heat. But the redeemed won't be there then. Thank you, Lord. So now he goes on to say and read here Mark 11 chapter, begin 12 verse. He says, listen close now, Mark 11, 12. And on the morrow, when they came from Bethany, he was hungered. And seeing a fig tree far off having leaves, and he's reading from the scripture, he came and that haply he might find anything thereon. And when he come to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee from henceforth ever. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast them out that sold and bought in the temple. That's when he went in the temple and braided the rope and so forth, beat them out. And overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is written, my Father's house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, now that's another day, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Brother Branham says, within 24 hours, the miracle had taken place. After he said to it, no man eat nothing. It looked like it happened then. But by the next day, it was dried up. And Peter called to remembrance and said unto him, Master, behold the fig tree which thou did curse, it is withered away. And Jesus answering him said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Shall not doubt in his heart. Listen now. But shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have them. Think of that. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, there's something that goes with that. The prophet brought our attention to. You see? And when you stand praying, watch the next thing. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. if you have anything against anybody, anything. Don't you think of that? Now, are you caught up in this thing that Paul said was going to happen in the latter times? Or you can't even recognize that? You might call it just a little discomfort towards somebody. You might call it as just, oh, just don't hit it off together, you know? Is that what you call it? Or is down inside there's that little aunt, that little something about a certain person that you just don't get it and don't feel free with and just don't want to be around them? Oh. Now, Scripture also says if you do, go to them. Now remember, we're talking about something that every one of us is going to be able to use. Because everybody sitting in this building, one time or another, you're going to get sick. You may get cancer. You may be diabetic. You might be high blood pressure. You might have an accident. You might be something happened to you. But everyone sitting in here, something's going to happen to you one time or another, already has. We're human beings.
Amen.
There's water and blood running through these veins. Yes, it's flesh. So every one of us is going to be sometime or another, we need God. You might sit there as a young fellow or a young lady and you might think, oh, praise God, I'm young and I don't need nothing. You don't realize today you could have an aneurysm. Yeah. Today. You don't realize that maybe you could wake up tomorrow and start having complications with diabetes. Yeah.
Right. Amen.
Oh, yeah. You don't realize that tomorrow you may get up and there might be a high pressure rise in your eyes and glaucoma strike. Oh, you can't hardly see. So one thing about it, I think everyone sitting in here, whether you want to admit it or not, we're a needy people.
Amen.
We are so needy. Not only maybe physical things, maybe something natural come up, or maybe something come up spiritually. But one thing about it, we're all spiritually in need. Yeah. And that's why God places us in a place to gather around the Word of God and forsake not to summon ourselves together, even more so, you see a day approaching, that we could exhort each other and listen to the Word of God, you see? So again, we all sit here and we're all going to need something. If we don't today, it may be tomorrow. It may be a week from now. But you'll need something. Yeah. You're going to need help.
Amen.
Yeah. And that's the way God set it up. Because He wanted to be the great physician.
Amen.
He wanted to be Jehovah Jireh, the great provider. All these great things that He's seen in His mind, His great attributes, He knew would have to be manifested. And the circumstances we live in today gives this opportunity for it to be expressed. But now there's a channel to get into to let Him provide that. So He says here, reading again, "And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses." Oh, if you want forgiven, you better be a forgiving person. Yeah. And maybe sometimes in your little mind you may think, oh, that's, you don't understand, brother. Pastor, you don't understand why, there's no way I can forgive this person for that. Every time you turn around, it seems like they're digging at it and bringing it right back up. So, that's when you're supposed to return good for evil. Pray for those that despitefully use you and come against you and do those things. Do what the Word said, you know? All right? He says, "Father also," this back up, "that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses." And Brother Bram says, it's on conditions. Yeah. It's on conditions. And God does a lot of things on conditions. see? A lot of things. Let me read you something else. If you want to turn over to 1 Peter and 3rd chapter. Let's just go through these things. 1 Peter and the 3rd chapter. Now, talking about wanting God to answer our prayers and meet the needs of my life, and so that he can be glorified and expressed that he is a healer, that he's my great redeemer, and all these great things, you see, which should be the desire of every one of our hearts. We should want to see him do that in our life. If we need a healing, we should want him to be our healer, you know. All right? So 1 Peter 3 and the first verse. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Now, what in the world are you reading this post? This. Well, let's just keep following it down. In other words, subjection is, or submit oneself to. That's what you wives is to do, submit yourself to your husband. That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. You know, Brother Brown gave us that little example about the little woman, remember I talked about the other night, her husband and these gentlemen got together, you know, and come and act like they're drunk, they'll slam the food plate on the floor and all this other stuff, but must Jesus bear the cross alone in all the world? And Brother Bram said to every woman, and then gave her life to Christ. Why? By that conversation, by what she was doing. Wow, isn't that sweet? My. While they behold your chaste conversation, in the original Greek it says pure from carnality. Wow. Coupled with fear. Can you imagine that? A woman being in that position and chaste conversation coupled with fear and people being won from her conversation. And it's so sweet the way she talks. She doesn't complain about nothing. She doesn't complain about other people. She doesn't downgrade people. She's all just sweet as can be. And if her husband asks her to do something, well, yes, honey, I'll do that for you. Instead of sitting there just bite, back, and this, and just carry on all that stuff. But just a conversation. As I said, isn't that so sweet? My. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, in other words, with reverence, respect, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and the wearing of gold or putting on the apparel, but let it be of the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of a great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Wow. Whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered or cut off from God listening. That your prayers be not hindered. The husband and wife be together in such a union like this so your prayers don't get hindered. Isn't it something how God does things if we do this, if we do that? But he does. Amen. And sometimes we fail so miserably of keeping up, we'll say in our way, do we understand our end. And then we pray and we ask God for things and we wonder, how come I ain't getting no answer? How come I'm not getting this? How come I'm not? And then we got to go and run to the doctor and keep popping pills and this, that, and the other until it destroys our body even. And again, nothing wrong with taking a pill if you need to. That's fine. I'm not against taking medication. You need to until, and even Brother Brandon mentioned, after he'd prayed for a little lady, I believe it was, and she quit taking her medication and she started getting bad. And don't do that. Take it until it's done. The healing's fulfilled.
Amen.
See? But what condition are we in to be able to ask God whatsoever we desire? What condition are we in? Now, you've got to remember, he knows everything about us. He knows the thoughts, even. He knows why we're asking for something. He knows our motive and objective. As Brother Brown spoke of, I think I brought that with me somewhere here. We could read that real quick. Yeah, let me read that real quick before we go on. This is I've Heard But Now I See, November 27, 1965. I've read all these things before, but this is something the Holy Ghost wants me to do now, so that's what we're going to do. I have heard, but now I see. Paragraph 66. See, we don't use the gift of God for commercial. No. He's talking about Brother Demas and drilling oil wells, and he told Brother Demas about the oil pocket in Kentucky, great large oil pocket, okay? And he says, but first you see your motives and objectives have to be right. Now listen to this, saints. I've read this before. It's been quite a few years ago, but I want you to listen to it again with what I'm going to bring today. You have to have reasons for this. God don't give you those things just because you ask. Now, wait a minute, Brother Steve. He's contrary to Scripture. No, he's not. No. But he's given us this with understanding.
Amen.
Okay? God don't give you those things just because you ask. The Scripture said, Brother Steve, now Jesus himself said, ask whatsoever you desire, and he'll give you desire your heart. Yeah, he said that. But there's conditions. Okay? And you cannot ask in faith unless there's a real objective to that. To be in the will of God. And if you want to be well, what do you want to be well for? If you want to be well, why do you want to be well? Now, we can mention a lot of things, you know. Say, like, maybe if your leg, you know, maybe you've got a problem with your leg and you can't even walk. And maybe for years you've played basketball or you've done some kind of a activity, athletic activity and stuff, and that's what you want healed for, so you're going right back at it again, and it kept you away from the Word. Yeah. But your objective is to get healed for that reason. Do you think God's going to listen to that? When it's going to take you away from God's Word? Huh? Maybe I'm diabetic and I want to be healed so I can eat all the ice cream there is. Is that why you want healed? Or is it so you can take care of children better or take care of the husband better and do the work around the house so you don't have them days that you feel like you're drug clear down underneath the rug and everything, and you need to do your part as a wife or a husband? Is that why you want to get healed? So you can eat more? And so you can eat all the garbage there is that they put out there? Is that why you want healed? See, God knows our motives and objectives.
Amen.
You see? All right? If you want to be healed, what's the reason you want to be healed for? So why do you want to be healed? What's the reason? Is it a good reason to the will of God? Or is it something for your own selfish ways that would do only if you was healed, it'd be less time you'd spend with the Lord. It'd be less time you'd read the Word. It'd be less time that you'd even maybe go to church because now you feel like doing something. Maybe it'd make you run more. Yeah, maybe you're a woman and you don't want to stay at home to start with, and now you're sickly and you're weak and you just don't go to work because you don't feel good. But if I could just feel good, I'd run here and I'd go here and I'd go there and I'd go do this. When the Scripture said be chaste, keep her at home. What is your desire? What you want? Okay? Now remember, every one of us is going to have something sometime or another we need. None of us is exempt. None of us. See? Okay? What are you telling God? What do you want to do with your life when you get healed? What do you want to do with it when you get healed? See, there, he said, you've got to have a motive and objective. And they have to be right according to the will of God. Yeah. And then, when faith is revealed to you, that's when God will send the revelation. You're healed. By his stripes, I'm already healed. It'll come then. You've got the right motive and objective. You see? And God, by his sovereign grace, places that faith in there. Then it's over. It's done. You see? See how simple it is? And he goes on to talk a little bit. I'll skip a little bit, talk about the oil and so forth. And then he goes on to say, but because the selfishness got among it, the objectives was wrong, signing up a bunch of stuff, it would be this way or that. Then he says, when they promised they would do it for the kingdom of God, but it looked like it's for themselves. Yeah, how many times did we promise something for the kingdom of God and it ended up being for ourselves? Well, God already knows all about this because he searched the reins. You see? All right? And he says, it won't work. No, it won't work. No selfish thing will work. Hear what he said? No selfish thing will work. Are you wanting healed or wanting greasy something to the glory of God? For his will? Or is it for your own selfish will? Huh? Maybe you get sickly a lot. And maybe it hinders you from, I'm just using things. Maybe it hinders you from hunting. You love to hunt. I want to be like Brother Branham. I want to hunt, you know. Maybe you want to hunt a lot. So you want to be healed so you can hunt more and be out in the woods more. Or was it for, so I don't miss one service, Lord? Not one.
Yeah. Amen.
What's it for? Again, God knows all about these things. And you know I'm not telling you something. It's not real. He knows your motive. He knows your objective. He knows if it's selfish or not. Selfish is for your own desire. What you want to do. You see? Alright? He says, and it won't work. No selfish thing will work. Your motives and objectives have to be exactly, perfectly right. Now, I'm not saying, I'm reading what the prophet said. So now you ought to listen. See, now if it's something I just saying things and saying, okay, that's one thing. But I'm reading what the prophet said. Okay? Then you have faith to ask. Yeah, there's no condemnation involved then. You know you're asking for the glory of God and for his will, his word to be fulfilled. Okay? If our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence. See, we've got to have confidence. When you ask for something, you've got to have confidence. But is there little things here and there that keeps us from having confidence? You see, oftentimes, many times I've mentioned before, Brother Branham and people come up in prayer line. And you'd see a vision at times. And that person may have to go need to make something right first. So until that thing was made right, that it ain't happening. Because there's condemnation there. You see, something wasn't right. But everything has to be perfectly right with God. Everything just the way he wants it to be. You see? It's on conditions. Okay? If our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence. See, we've got to have confidence. I want this to, you'll say, I want this to the honor and glory of God. Oh, or do I want it so I can go just have fun? Maybe I'm a man, I can't work, and I'm sick, and I need a healing. Lord, you know if I don't provide for my own, I'm worse than an infidel. I'm worse than an unbeliever, Lord. And I want to be made whole that I may glorify you. And Father, be able to pay my tithes and pay my offering and do to help others. Lord, help me to do so. Yeah. Oh, my. Then faith has a channel to move into. Yeah. If it doesn't, then you've got mental, intellectual faith. He says, and not genuine faith from God. That intellectual faith will get you nowhere. It might get you emotional, but it won't get you the healing that you're looking for. Okay. How many here has some kind of healing you need?
Amen.
You know, yeah, quite a few in there. You got to make sure it's just this way.
Amen.
And it ain't Brother Stephen's way, it's the Word's way.
Amen.
Okay? And the world is falling apart. Let me renew your mind back to this one real quick before we move along. Time is getting to be in. I'm going to hurry. Paragraph 143. Now we find out that God promised to supply all our needs. We read this in last Sunday. We had need of. See, he promised. He said in this journey. Is that right? But remember, he only supplies it on conditions. We've got to meet his conditions. First, if we do not meet his condition, he will not meet our condition. We've got to do the thing that's right first. Yeah. We've got to go down to the bottom and build up. That's exactly. We can't start at the top and come down. We've got to go to the bottom and build up. Go back to the bottom. He'll meet our condition. All his promises are on condition. How many times did the prophet mention in his ministry, make sure things are right. Make sure everything's clear. Make sure there's nothing you're hanging over you that can't condemn you or anything. Make sure everything's clear in your life. You see? Oh my. And this one too, I'll renew your mind back to before we read some different ones. This is Zacchaeus the businessman. He says, paragraph 17, you know, in prayer line, many times going through and maybe offering prayer, and sometimes a case goes deeper than that. God heals on condition, you see. And there might be something in that person's life. And I don't care how much medicine the doctor would give you, they'll never get well until the thing is cleared up. Keep that in mind. They'll never get well. Now, again, I'm just simple enough. I believe these things 100%. There might be somebody sit there and say, I don't believe it's that way. He made us kings and priests and this, that, and the other, and power and dominion all over devils. Yeah, but there's some condition, friend. Yeah. You know, some ministers want to just tell you one side of it, but I'm going to tell you both sides of it. Okay? In perfect faith, let me read this real quickly. He says, therefore, this is August 25th, 1963. Again, I kind of hit on a little bit of this, but I'm going to read another portion of it this morning. Therefore, he relied upon what God had made him, talking about our Lord Jesus. And if he did, then can't we rely upon what God made us as believers? Can we rely on that God made us believers? If our hearts condemn us, then we can't have faith. He says, but if our hearts don't condemn us, then we have faith. We have confidence towards God. Of course, why? Because you know he's going to hear you. Yeah. You know he's going to hear you. But what if you don't do the thing even with husband and wife that we read? Paul told us it's cut off. You don't honor your wife. The wife ain't in her place. Husband doing what he was supposed to be. Your prayer's going to be cut off because of that. Now think of that. And I can say, so many times we wonder, why isn't God answering my prayer? Why isn't this? Why doesn't that happen? I've asked God for this. But he knows all about you. He knows your motive, your objective. He knows whether everything's cleared up or not. He knows whether you've got condemnation in your heart. He knows all these things as he's the all-seeing eye and knows everything. You see? So I can't hide none of this from him. Everything has to be just perfectly right. And when I hit that point, I know everything's going to be happening just like he promised. Then I can have this assurance and confidence. Oh my. But when I know everything just ain't the way he wants it to be, I'm condemned. Maybe I'm out laughing with the men's dirty jokes in my job. And down inside, I know I shouldn't be doing that. Now what if that same day, have some kind of attack of some sort. You know what's going to be throbbing in your mind? Of just how filthy you just was. Yeah.
Amen.
And then you'll say, well, I'll just ask him, forgive me then, everything will be cleared. But you know what's going to bother you? You know you haven't overcome it. And you're still condemned. So it pays to walk real close to the Lord and let him have the complete preeminence in your life and be the first love in your heart and life and be a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. It pays. Because you know what? Every one of us is really going to need him sometime or another. Yeah. If not already. But sometimes we don't get what we ask for because our hearts condemn us. But we're living in that age and time where people can get caught up with these seducing spirits and they can't even cipher when they're doing something wrong now. They can't distinguish it. Until the preacher comes along and renews my mind about, oh yes, I should have thought of that. Yeah, you should have thought of it. What should have been down inside should have told you. For when the Comforter shall come, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. Yeah. You need the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And without the Holy Ghost, you're definitely condemned. And you ain't going to get nothing. You see? Let's go on. You know, as I've said before here, you know, we're living in a time now where we know that God has a work for his bride. And we are, as the prophet said, we're to declare to this nation and to this people that Jesus Christ is alive. But you know what? That involves some things. It involves some things of really maybe sometimes the word cutting us apart and cleaning us out. Brother Branham mentioned about that honing of a razor edge. Yeah. Where nothing, talk about that pyramid of stones, nothing get in between, friends. It's honed that close. No sin get in. And what sin's there, it'll be chopped and cut out. So it's a glorious thing to know we're living that age and time where it's to be declared to this nation that Jesus Christ is alive, that he lives in us. He walks through us, talks through us, acts through us. But sometimes there's a lot of honing to get rid of anything that ain't like Christ. You see? Amen. He says here in perfect faith, I need to go on. Let me skip that part for now. Let me go to perfect faith over here. Page 72, or paragraph 72. I'll try to close off for this morning. But I'd like to get at least to a certain point here. Perfect faith, paragraph 72. Now, the identification of a scripture Christian, these words said Jesus. You want to, the identification, you want to know how you identify you're a Christian today? A scriptural Christian? These signs shall follow them that believe. You'll be doing what the word said. And when you're doing that, there's no condemnation, friend. Because it's not you that lives, it's Christ that lives in you. There's no way you can live this word yourself. It's Christ that lives in you. And then when you see him living in you, that identification of Christ living in you, oh, everything you know, everything's going to be just the way God wants it to be. You can have confidence. All right. Now, how can you call yourself a believer, people, and deny these words? How can you call yourself a believer and deny any of this word? You can't do it. See, you're not a believer. There's signs. Those signs can't follow. Because you just accept what you want, believe, and leave the rest of it out. See? You don't believe it. But you've got to take the whole thing and believe it. And then, he says, when you truly believe, not make believe, but really believe, then these signs shall follow them that believe. Oh, could you compare Christian today with them Christians of long ago? Can we compare ourselves with those Christians of long ago? How them disciples walked in the power of the Spirit. Oh, they walked power of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was leading them, guiding them. That's why Apostle Paul himself, though that little woman was following him in Silas, and just all these great men, the kingdom moves high and so forth, just kept mocking and making fun of him, basically. And yet he would not cast that spirit off of that woman until God gave him permission. So filled with the power in the Spirit of God. Even Peter, as he went to the gate called Beautiful, and silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. Rise in the name of the Lord. They walked in such power of the Spirit. Do you desire that? To walk in the power of the Spirit? That may not be some of the things that they done, but it might be something else. There might be a brother or sister in need that Holy Ghost will get in your heart in regards to what it costs you to do it. Hey man, I'm going to do that for them. You see, regardless of the price, I'm going to do this because I know this is God's will. You see, moved by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, moved by the Holy Ghost. He said, just a prisoner Watch how he ties it in perfect faith. As I preached on the other night, a prisoner of the word and the will of God. He couldn't even move until God moved him. This is the position where perfect faith was able to express. Oh, hallelujah. Wouldn't you like to see a church rise like that? Amen. Amen. Oh my. He says it's going to. It's going back. It's got to come. Now he said that. I didn't. But he said it's got to come. Oh my. Wouldn't you like to see it? He said it's got to come. That's right. It's on the road now. It's in the making. When he spoke that, it was in the making. It was on the road. It's coming down the road. It's going to happen, friends. Oh my. For the word identified himself what he was. And the word, same word, identifies us. Why? But being fulfilled in our life. If a man loves me, now look, remember what we was bringing out about that love, that first love. Or are we involved in the people that lost their first love? We started out on fire. We heard about the prophet's message. We got all excited and we was just all on fire for God. You know, something new, something looked at it and it was real and everything. Just really excited about it. And now as time goes on, it just keeps getting less and less and less. And now a new boat means more. A new house means more. A new job means more. And three more children needs more. And maybe my husband needs more. And my wife means more. And me making more money means more. Oh, there's just things everywhere. Everywhere means more. You see? If a man loves me, he keeps my commandments. And if he says he loves me and keeps not my commandments, he is a liar. And the truth is not in him. You say, well, I don't believe. Well, see, you're just an unbeliever. That's all. If the Bible said so, that makes it right. That settles it eternally. What the Bible said is truth, you see. Notice where he said to us, if you abide in me and my word in you, St. John 15, if you abide in me, see, have faith in him, you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you ask what you will. Now you see how all the scriptures tie together? But they've got to tie together by faith, by revelation of our hearts, you see. Now see, he knew who he was. Do you know who you are? I'm not just saying I believe the message. You don't know who you are, you're just saying you believe the message. The only way you can know who you are is if that message lives through you. Amen. Now you know who you are. Look at the thousands of people say they believe the message. And friends, I'd be ashamed to even walk with them. Because there's nothing there. It's not real. It's not genuine. It's fake. Put on. Imposters. Impersonators. Make-believers. You see? Now see, he knew who he was. Therefore, he had faith. Faith could produce when he knew what he was. Yeah. Now if ye abide in me and my word in you, then you know who you are. Ah. Ask what you will. It'll be given you. Yes, if it abides in you. But what if we're all caught up in the things of this life? Yeah. What if I let my children play on these worldly games and devices in my home, and I know it's highly stimulating. Some of them even give warning on. I've read the warning for you before, years ago. It says right on the warnings on them, it says highly stimulating to the senses. And can be dangerous and mental dangerous. Yeah. And you might be thinking you're living so, praise God, I'm a happy person, I'm a Christian, I'm a bride, but yet you're condemned because you know you're letting that go on in your home. Because you think that's what's going to keep my children happy. That's what's going to make it easy for them. That's what makes them, as long as they're happy, I'm happy. And still a lot of that all over the world, the rod lacking. Oh, it's lacking. Yeah. As I've said before, I used the rod on every one of my daughters, and they all three still love me. And I am not just saying that, but I think you'll know and can see that they love me and they respect me. And I respect them, you see. So that didn't make them hate me like the world wants to make you think.
That's right.
No. No, no, no. They will love you and respect you. Yes. Wouldn't that be wonderful tonight if everyone could come in the prayer line and say, I'm a Christian and I have no condemnation? Oh, my. Can we sit here today and absolutely, and just take and begin to meditate and think? And can you honestly sit there and know there's nothing condemns you? Nothing. You know 100% that word is living through you. And you know if there's something that isn't and maybe you've made a mistake at, you know you are dying out to that thing, crucifying it, mortifying it, whatever it takes to overcome that thing. Reading the Word, studying, praying, seeking God, fasting, whatever it takes to get that overcome. And if you know you're doing that, you can still stand there without condemnation. You see? But how many of us sit here today with condemnation? Oh, I've done this week, and I know I'd keep doing this. And you may even ask God to forgive you as soon as you was done doing it. But you know you're still doing it. And you know what? You condemn yourself. Because you're not meeting the requirement, overcomer. And you have the knowledge of that. You see? Just remember, saints, you may need something very badly today before it's over with. Yeah? You may need to cry out to God for something. But if you're condemned now, friends, it's going to hit you then. And you're going to know. You put yourself right back as a sinner. I know that my heart condemns me not, you could say. Something tells me that tonight is the end of my suffering. Hallelujah. That you're going to, he says, that you're going to do it. See, you'll go away from here with something. No matter how much you come in or come into motion or how much you do, it won't work until that perfect faith has manifested and identified itself in you as a substance. And when it's there, then nothing's going to shake you from it. Glory. If you had cancer, the doctor told you yesterday that you'd be dead before morning, Monday morning. All your heart, your respiration's gone. The cancers eat you up. Your bloodstreams become completely cancer. Whatever it is. And something come with this substance in that genuine faith. Perfect faith was made a substance in you. You would laugh in that doctor's face. Think of that. What if I'm a man not treating my wife right? What if I'm the woman and I'm still trying to be the head? You can pray until the stars fall, friend. It ain't going to do you no good. Because you know you're breaking that word. Unless you've been caught up in this latter day thing that was going to happen. Those seducing spirits. And you can't even cipher. You can't even distinguish that you're in the wrong. Yeah. And then you might as well just keep on praying because it ain't never going to happen, friends. Never. Nope. Because that token is up there. And those promises on those with that token. We'll get to it. And Paul sitting there and seeing the word, seeing that was Jesus, he raised up his hands and become harnessed to him. The love of God had harnessed him to the word. Oh, and he's going to bear my name before the Gentiles. There he went. He harnessed himself and he went down. Finally, God had a man that was subject to him and harnessed to him and could not move until the word of God moved him. If people could just do that today, I'm going to read you something. You listening? Then he says, then he was a prisoner of love. Yoked up in the bond of love with God, see? As Paul was yoked up in the bond of love to God. There he was trained one way, but God changed him another. And they had to become a complete prisoner. There he had to become a complete prisoner. To not act in the way that they wanted to act, but act in the way that God wanted them to act. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can you hear that voice coming to you? Not to act the way you want to act, but act the way he wants you to act. Christ makes his prisoners of love his sons. I'll close on this for this morning. Christ makes his prisoners of love his sons, and he gives them power. The same thing he had. St. John 14:12, he says. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Even more than this shall he do. Now the prisoner of love of Christ becomes empowered by his King. Oh my. What's power? Authority. Yes. Prisoners of love. If so far you've been listening to the word I've read you, you should have been able to see a place in your life that Christ wants in your life. That we can be those people. That it will manifest. That he has given us power and authority over every devil, over every sickness, over the hell, over hell, everything. Flesh, sin. Yes. Oh my. But just how much does condemnation rule our life? Because we're still not doing what he wants. You want too much on your own. Too much flesh. Too much pleasures. Too much other first loves other than Christ. Oh, saints. Have you been empowered? Empowered. You can ask whatever you desire and God will give it to you. Knowing by him living in you, you will have the right motive and objective. The Holy Ghost will give you the right motive and objective. Yeah. Without the Holy Ghost, you won't have the right motive and objective. It'll be all selfishness. I want to do this, Lord. I want to do that, and I want to go here, and I want to visit here, and I want to do this, that, and the other. But what all about what God wants you to do? I wonder how many brothers would ask God to heal their body to be able to go help a brother do something. Maybe his roof blowed off his house. Healed? I'll let the other brothers do it. I'd rather lay here in my recliner. But tomorrow maybe it's fishing day. Oh, I've got to get better. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. I've got to get better. I'm going to go fishing tomorrow. He knows the motives and objectives of your heart. And why it's so rare to see somebody get healed. It's so rare to see somebody have a need provided. It's so rare when it should be happening all the time. But it's a rare occurrence instead of a constant occurrence of it being fulfilled. See? Because we're too material-minded. Too flesh-minded. Too many things is more important than serving God. In closing, he that can't hate father and mother, brother and sister, children, for my sake, is not worthy.
Amen.
I believe the Lord Jesus Christ done that for a purpose. He wanted to come right down to where it was really close. Who are you going to love more? Serving him or serving somebody else? Oh my. How we should love Jesus most of all. It'll be worth it all, friends. It sure will be. But what lays there for us if we will just do what he says? But like I said, there's not. You know, if you're like me, I want him to do everything he wants to do through me. Amen. Lord, just let me surrender and let you have
Amen.
Your all through my life. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Hope something said to help you. And you sisters, come to the instruments, please. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I don't know what I would do if I didn't have that message today, the prophet. God that was sent to us. I just don't know what I would do. It'd be such a miserable life. I sure would. But it's so good to be able to go into the Word of God and see that you belong to it and it belongs to you. Amen. Just stand and sing a little chorus here. It's in your little pamphlets that look like this right here on page 8. You are my strength. You are my all in all. Page 8. Amen. I trust he will be your all in all, friends. Amen. Before this day's over with, if he's not now. Amen. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my seeking you as a precious fruit, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God, times seen people's lives down through the walk that we've been on, even my own life at times, taking my sin and my cross, my shame. Oh, how shame you felt when you'd done something you shouldn't have done. Rising again to his grace and mercy, we rose again. I bless your name. You're my all in all. When I fall down, how many's ever fallen down? I think we've all probably fallen down sometime or another. He picked me up, friends. When I was dry, ever been a dry spell in your life? Things got a little carried away and you feel a little dry. Yeah. Well, he fills you up. You're my all in all. And truly he is, friends. He's your all in all. Let's sing that again, then sing the chorus. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill me up. You are my all in all. Jesus, the Lamb of God, worthy.
Father. Thank you again for your precious word. Oftentimes I've thought, Lord, how terrible it would have been if we wouldn't have had your word on printed page. There would never have been printers to be able to print it. Or there had never been some kind of recording device to record it. Oh, Lord, how terrible it would have been. But, Father, you provided all these things, made it possible that we could read and study your word and to listen to it. And how we appreciate it with all our heart. Thank you, Lord, for putting us in a country that we have the freedom of religion. We appreciate that, Lord, with all our heart. Father, we maybe sometimes just take it for granted. But Lord, there's many places throughout the world that they do not have that freedom. And if they're caught, Lord, many things shall come upon them. But Lord, we thank you so far for what you've done for us. And we appreciate it. May we take advantage of it, Lord. And Father, use it to your glory and honor. So may your will be done now in our lives. And watch over us, protect us, and keep us safe, Lord, again as we travel upon the highways. And bring us back again at your next appointed time if you should tarry. And trusting, Lord, your word today would have helped somebody, encourage them and strengthen them, Lord, and bring them closer to you. Lord, that's our prayer. That's our desire always, Lord, that that would be done. We ask all these things now in your glorious, precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.